ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Do you ever look at your kids and think, they've got it easy? Life was so much harder back in my day. Well, have I got the podcast for you. It's called Wait, They Did What? We take a trip back in time to when kids could buy fireworks, cars didn't have seatbelts, and we all had to sing God Save the Queen.
They did what?
They did what?
They did
what?
I can't believe that.
Check it out with your kids. Wait, They Did What? Is on ABC Listen and ABC iView.
COVID, Ukraine, now Iran. For years, the food supply chain has faced severe pressure, and the cost has been passed on at the supermarket checkout. So, how bad is it this time? And when will another round of price hikes really kick in? Today, we speak to an expert in the costs around our food supply and to South Australian grain grower Louise Flohr about the increasing pressure on farmers. I'm Sam Hawley on Gadigal Land in Sydney. This is ABC News Daily. Louise, as a farmer, you're very used to uncertainty, but my gosh, this must feel like next level at the moment.
It is, Sam, and it's a lot of decision fatigue at the moment in the grain growing community. We're trying to manage the things that we can and, yeah, just trying to keep an eye on all of the different things that are sort of getting thrown our way at the moment. We're managing high fert prices, high fuel, and we're probably looking at higher interest rates coming at us soon. So yeah, it's a lot to be dealing with at the moment.
I bet. And for farmers like yourself, you're having to make decisions without knowing, I guess, what is around the corner, not knowing how long this war is going to last for. So just explain that for me, because I know there are farmers who are sort of deciding not to plant crops this year, maybe halving their crops. So what position are you in right at the moment?
Look, it's business as usual here, Sam. We aren't in a position where we can cut down our area. We need to be putting in our whole program. So there's a few tweaks around the edges with some different crop types. But yes, it's business as usual and keep calm and carry on because we can't afford to halve the input. What's happened with this war, which is really different to what happened in the Ukraine war, was we saw prices go up relatively to the price of wheat. Mm-hmm. And so prices were all relative, but this war has been different in that at the moment we're sort of experienced high input costs, but the price of wheat's not really changed. So it's really, you're right, we are going in really blind. We are going to wear these high costs, but we're not seeing the same relative increase in the price of grain at the end of the year. So we expect it will go up, but yeah, we can't see it yet.
Now, you obviously rely heavily on your farm on diesel. Just explain for me that the machinery you use and how much diesel it requires. So, say per month, what does it cost you and how much of an increase have you seen at this point?
So we've seen diesel go up about 40%, and we're lucky we had a bulk 30,000 litre diesel tank on farm, so we are able to purchase it in bulk. But we are at our absolutely highest peak of fuel usage at the moment. We're seeding, so the tractor's sort of going around the clock. We're trying to ameliorate our soils where we can, which is really a high diesel intensive use. So, yeah, we're at peak diesel use at the moment and, yeah, we're using thousands of litres of diesel a week at the moment. I mean, a tank of diesel into a tractor might be 200 litres, so two by, what are we paying now, $3 a litre? Yes, it's enormously expensive, but also hay production is a big part of our program. So we're also, you know, driving trucks on the road. We can't pass those costs on. So we've had contracts in place and we can't pass those costs on, unlike say a Qantas. Yeah, we just simply can't pass those costs on. So it's, you know, absorb, baby, absorb. We have to absorb these costs.
That comes off your bottom line.
100%.
Basically.
On the back of our patch has had two quite severe droughts. It's tiring. There's a fair bit of grower burnout in our patch. It's a really tricky time. Farming is always tricky, but this adds a lot of complexity.
And as you said, fertilizer too, right? that's a real problem as well.
Yes.
Are you experiencing any shortfall, or is it just that it's costing you more at this point?
At this point, we are experiencing price increases only. We are sorting out our fertiliser in January. We are just experiencing those higher prices. Yeah, look, urea, which is what we use to put on our crops after they're emerged and growing. There may be some shortages with that. I'm not too sure, but we've got urea locked in, so we're feeling okay. We will be putting a bit less out just simply due to the cost. And I suspect that will be happening around the place a fair bit too.
Yeah, all right. And in your view, how does this compare to, I guess, the last war that you had to deal with, the Ukraine war? Is this worse to that?
Yes, so far it's worse, absolutely. Ukraine is a major competitor for growing wheat. They're really good at growing wheat in that Black Sea region. So when their production's disrupted, price tends to go up. And I'm not saying people benefited out of the Ukraine war, but we saw price of fuel go up, but we also saw the price of grain go up. So it's a really... It is a pretty awful situation at the moment with those import costs, and yet no changes to that grain price. So, yeah, it's precarious. We're keeping calm. We're controlling what we can control and just take it day at a time.
I'm Stefan Vogel. I'm the general manager of Rabobank's research team in Australia and New Zealand. And it's great to talk today about fuel, fertilizer, and everything that the Strait of Hormuz might mean for our farmers and consumers.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Because, of course, the uncertainty over the Strait of Hormuz, Stefan, just continues. And that will have, won't it, an effect on the food supply chain. Just explain that for me.
Absolutely. And it already does have an impact for sure. Right now, a lot of what is happening is more based on fear than real shortage of supply. But if you look at the Strait of Hormuz, it is a real important bottleneck for many, many goods that we need in Australia. 80% of our beef, sheep, grain move to the world market, but we're actually extremely reliant on imports. So diesel imports, about 80% of the diesel we're using is coming from abroad, but clearly we are also very heavily importing fertilizers from the world market. So more than 90% of the nitrogen fertilizer that we use in the country is coming from abroad. So the whole supply chain is feeling the impact right now. And the concern clearly for farmers is, I need to put a crop in the ground, and we're in the planting period right now. Do I have the fertilizer? Do I have the fuel to actually make that crop happen, to harvest? Because prices have gone up massively for both fertilizer and fuel on farm.
Okay, why don't we consider how much more we will be paying for things when we do go to the supermarket. Now, Stefan, fresh vegetables and fruit, they're really vulnerable, aren't they?
Yes, the fresh produce sector is definitely a more vulnerable one. Clearly, if you think about the timing, you need to get them off the farm at the time when they're ripe. Fresh produce is maybe more vulnerable in terms of prices, and seeing those price changes maybe a bit quicker in the supermarkets. And it is, first of all, the transport and the fuel cost that are adding in it. From a supply chain perspective and from a food perspective, not so much the fertilizer cost.
Yeah, I have seen some reports it's potentially between 15 to 30%.
For growers, the damage is already done. The National Farmers Federation warning your groceries could cost up to 20% more.
What about meat and chicken? What about dairy products?
The meat prices of beef and sheep meat were relatively strong already on farm. Given of a local supply shortage of sheep meat, for example, the world market still in good demand for our meat. So with that, we don't expect that the prices for those products on farm will rise as much as the cost these farmers are facing. Mm. While on the supermarket side, the transport side will be part of it. The processing side of it will be part of it. And we also know that when inflation is high, and we probably also see that the wages will continue to rise. So with that, also the labor cost will be a part of it.
Okay, but we do obviously expect that things will get a lot more expensive, even if the farmers are having to absorb these extra costs.
Absolutely. And if you look at packaging, clearly a lot of products that we're buying in our supermarkets are packaged. And once again, a lot of the raw material is crude oil based or is chemical based. So that is produced in those same refineries that also produce diesel and so on. So a lot of the raw material, once again, comes out of the Strait of Hormuz. So if we're looking at the Southeast Asian and Chinese market for PE plastic, so the kind of thin foil that you see a lot wrapped around food or the more sturdy plastic packaging, those prices have risen quite a bit in those origins. And we expect that those costs will also be passed on and will be faced at some point in time by the consumers.
We've had a few shocks, of course, Stefan, in recent history. We had COVID, then we had the Ukraine war, and now, of course, this war. So how does this, do you think, stack up in terms of this supply chain and the pressures on it? Is this worse?
I would think it is worse than the shocks we had in the past because of the reason of the time it might drag on. So if you look at the war in Ukraine, we have seen that grain prices went up very, very quickly, but also fell very, very quickly again because the world market feared that Russia and Ukraine might not be able to export at the time because they are in a war. Very quickly, the market learned both sides are able to export, both sides are still producing good crops. So with that, actually, it normalized relatively quickly the prices and the consumer faced some higher costs on that food side, but not for a prolonged period of time. If you're looking at COVID, it was the disruptions of the supply chain, containers coming in, ships going out, but also obviously can we produce and transport everything. Once again, COVID took a long time, but the food and ag supply chain were considered essential and very quickly tried to stay at relatively normal pace. With a war here in the Strait of Hormuz, the question really is who can offset the shortfall of supply that comes from that region. Mm. And that is very difficult because it is very big numbers. Nobody knows when the Strait of Hormuz will really be open. But as long as it's closed, how long does it take for others to step up and supply more? So with that, Australia is doing one thing right now fairly well. We're trying to get imported goods that we really need from the world market. But the longer that conflict drags on, the higher the costs will probably be and the more painful it will get for the whole supply chain, including also the consumer inflation.
Yeah. All right. Well, as you say, Stefan, it's very hard to know how long the supply chain will be disrupted, but we can assure everyone that prices will remain high for a rather long time.
Yeah, so right now the farmers basically face the higher cost immediately. So on the first day of the Strait of Hormuz being blocked, fertilizer prices went up, diesel prices went up, so that this cost shock comes very quickly on the farm. The transport sector, it's the same thing. Diesel prices went up. Like all of us, go to the gas station and see the high tickets, the transport sector faced the same thing. So the costs are immediately pushed up on us. However, the capability of moving those costs further down the chain up until at the end of the day, the consumer is something that sometimes isn't 100%. And second of all, it takes a little bit of time. So with that, I think we will see the second half of the year food prices rising. It might actually be that Christmas is the time when food gets more expensive or is more expensive, even if the Strait of Hormuz opens tomorrow. We're expecting that the flow of goods from that region will take time. That because right now the import companies are buying for a very high price. It takes them 6 weeks, 8 weeks to originate that product in the world market, ship it to Australia, unload, distribute on farm. So with that, even if the Strait of Hormuz resolves magically tomorrow, which isn't the base case scenario of us, it will take time until we see costs dropping. The other part that gives me confidence is if we look at the supply chains, as you said, we've been tested in the last few years multiple times. Our farmers have done a fantastic job, and I'm sure they will do once again a good job this year. We are a little bit prepared, and I'm fairly optimistic that as long as we can get the diesel into the country that we need to get everything propelled And as long as we can find a way that we can get the supplies of nitrogen fertilizers, we will have crops and we will have the food that we need. I'm optimistic that the food and supply chain can manage.
Stefan Vogel is the General Manager at Rabo Research Australia and New Zealand. Louise Flohr is a grain farmer from South Australia. This episode was produced by Sydney Peed. Audio production by Sam Dunn. Our supervising producer is David Cody. I'm Sam Hawley. ABC News Daily. We'll be back again tomorrow. Thanks for listening.